Salamu alaikum. This was the only dream of prophets. Teaching Islam, religion, reason and logic. Open your heart, experience things you've never dreamed. Yo, start right here with A. This is the Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of the Deen Show, where we're here trying to help you understand Islam and Muslims. And today my next guest is going to help us understand the Quran, the verbatim words of the creator of the heavens and the earth. In Arabic we say Allah. He's going to help us to understand it better. Dr. Muhammad Mahdou is going to come out. He's the academic advisor for the American Open University. So the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was a teacher just like Jesus, Moses, Abraham. They were all teachers teaching us how to get close to God. So we can't do it according to our own desires. God Almighty, He sends the guidance. And the guidance today is the Quran. So let's talk to this man so he can help us understand this a little better. When we come back here on the Deen Show, don't go nowhere.
Deen. Allah is only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be unto you.
And to you as well.
How's it going? It's good to have you back here on the Deen Show again.
Alhamdulillah. I'm
back. You're traveling, you're all over the world, educating the people.
Thank you. You're traveling as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have you, and inshallah, we're going to keep having you back here inshallah, so we can enjoy and pick your brain and everyone can benefit, Muslims and non-Muslims alike.
Inshallah.
And that's what we're talking about, the verbatim word of the God Almighty, the Quran. So we want to know, this is sent down as an instruction manual, a guidance, not just for Muslims, but for for all of mankind. Let's talk about this guidance, the Quran, please.
First of all, you know that it's the final message.
That's it, no more to come.
No more to come. So if it is the final message, it will never address a certain people or certain nation or certain race. It should address all human beings. And therefore, it is the final message that addresses all human beings. Fair enough? Otherwise, if it addresses some specific people, definitely there will be effect, negative effect on the others. And that's why you find in the Quran that Almighty Allah addresses people in, by beginning saying this statement, O you people, Ya ayyuhan nas, or Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, or Ya ayyuhal kafirun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning of many verses, addresses using these phrases, O you people, so this address is to all human beings, and some verses address, O you those who believe, and some verses address specifically the people who don't believe. Even the people who don't believe in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them.
He's talking to them also.
Absolutely. So something specific for the disbeliever, something specific for the believers, or something general for all mankind. This is how the Quran, you can read it as easy as this. And of course, there are sometimes individual cases like Ya ayyuhan Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Muhammad particularly, and he would say that Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O you, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we talk to general people, he would say one of these beginnings, which tells you that this is absolutely a book for everyone, for all humanity. It's not just for the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what you expect that it gives and provides guidance for all mankind. I'll give you one example that, for example, a common issue among all the people in the world is that they are looking for the truth. Mm-hmm. Something, yes, keeps nagging on their brain. Mm-hmm. What is going on? Who is the true God?
People want to know, huh?
People want to know.
There's something embedded inside of all of us, like a spiritual chip, something that's yearning for this?
The nature, because this is the natural chip.
Yeah.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created people with. This is, we call it fitrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all people with this natural chip. Mm-hmm. They are pre-programmed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. But it is the society around them, it is their parents, it is the schools, it is the media that would make impact on them, and it changed this chip and change the programming and reprogram this chip again, and they changed. And after some time, some people discover that no, their original nature says something different, and from there they start looking for the truth.
So is that kind of when you get to your inside is telling you just good old common sense along with this, that when the truth comes, you recognize it?
Absolutely, because yeah. Allah gave every human being the ability to distinguish between the truth and the falsehood. Mm-hmm. But the more people would acquire falsehood in their life because of the environment and the negative effect on them, the more this weakens down. Mm-hmm. And that's why one role of the Quran, that it reminds people of the truth so that people would go back to it. So one job of the Quran and one job of the good Muslims is that they remind each other. And the Quran keeps reminding us. That's why you find some verses in the Quran are repeated in different contexts, because it's a reminder for us. Tadhkira, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it. So the Quran, yesterday or last time we talked about the Quran, we said it's guidance. And another definition of the Quran, it is a reminder as well. It reminds people of their roots, of the original nature, of the truth. So this Quran keeps doing this. Mm-hmm. One example of this.
Yes.
Is a chapter called chapter number 112, mm-hmm. chapter called Al-Ikhlas. It's a very short chapter. It has just four verses or four ayat. These four ayat are, I think, guidance for people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and out of His guidance, He gave these verses as criteria for anyone to use to check whether the God he or she worships is a true God or a false God.
Tell us, what is this
yes.
verse you're talking about now?
Yes, it's called Surah Al-Ikhlas. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim.
Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad.
Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. The meaning, which...
Break it down for us now.
Yes. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad, peace be upon him, tell people, teach people, tell them that the true God is the one who has this quality. He is Ahad. The word Ahad in Arabic language has a very simple meaning, which is one. And almost every Muslim knows that. Mm-hmm. And it means also unique.
So uniquely one.
Absolutely. Uniquely one in each of his qualities.
Now, let's just digress for a second.
Absolutely.
This is something simple. Uniquely one.
Very, very good.
You don't split them up now?
Absolutely.
Can you do it like a three-piece suit where you got, you know, a shirt, a tie, and like you got the jacket?
Yeah.
Some people do this.
Yeah.
Tell us, some people say, look, we believe in one, but they say God is a Trinity.
Okay.
What does it say about this?
Absolutely. When at the end of this explanation, everybody will understand.
Okay.
Yeah. So here, the effect of the word unique ahad here is very clear. So Allah is unique.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I ask myself, is the God that I worship unique? In other words, nobody else is similar to him? Okay, let's say some of the qualities of Almighty Allah. We'll say that Allah is the all-hearing. Mm-hmm. And each one of us will say that we hear and we listen. Absolutely. But the way that Allah hears is 100% unique, different from other people hearing. Let me give you an example. And we'll come after a break.
Be right back on the Deen Show.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
All of the prophets would have been labeled Muslims because this essential message was the same message: submission to the will of God. This is God talking to you directly.
How can I stand behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach a sermon that I knew was at variance with the actual taproot of Christianity?
So tell us, Sheikh, continue on talking about this chapter, yeah. Surah Ikhlas, in the verbatim word of God, the Quran.
Yes. We were talking about this quality that He is unique. Uh-huh. And we selected one attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's all hearing.
Yeah.
Somebody would claim that we hear. Mm-hmm. Of course we hear and we listen, but this is not the way that Almighty Allah hears and listens. For example, I hear you while you are talking, you're hearing me. And I cannot hear three or four or five people talking to each other at the same time. I can only focus on one. Mm-hmm. And this is not the case with Almighty Allah. If there are 7 billion human beings on the earth, and all of them are talking to each other, and all of them are talking to each other at the same time, with all these hundreds of languages that human beings speak, Allah listens to them and hears them all the time, at the same time. And nobody else has this unique quality. A human being doesn't do that. A jinn doesn't do that. An animal doesn't do that. A superpower doesn't do that. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we call Him unique. Mm-hmm. For example, another quality, if somebody say that, okay, Allah has a son. Mm-hmm. Somebody claims that God has a son. We tell him absolutely no. Simply because the word unique itself negates this concept. Mm-hmm. If he has a son, he's no longer unique because I have a son. And I have many sons. Yeah. You may have a couple of sons. You may have a couple of sons. Everybody can have sons and girls, daughters and children. Yeah. So by having this quality, meaning that God is not unique if he has a son. Just this word itself is enough to guide humanity. Ask yourself, you can go and ask Buddha, or you can go and ask the idol of the Indians, or the God of the Christians, or the Jews, and the Muslims, ask them. There is one criteria, that he is unique. Try to apply this to your God and see whether he is unique or not.
So if right away, if you say that, for instance, this mighty messenger who's beloved to our heart, Jesus, peace be upon
absolutely.
Him. For a person to say he's divine, he's God or the Son of God.
Okay.
How would you address that?
Absolutely, I would say no, because the qualities of Jesus are the qualities of Muhammad and are the qualities of Moses, are our qualities. He has two eyes, he has two ears, and he's no longer unique. Every human being looks like Jesus. Two eyes, two ears, a nose.
It's not unique anymore.
He's no longer unique.
But God wanted to understand us.
Okay.
So he came down in the form of a human being so he can understand
absolutely.
The deficiencies and he can be more receptive to our needs.
What do you Just by say? Saying that God wants to understand us, this is not a quality that befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. He knows everything. If he doesn't know anything, he's no longer God. That means this is a type of weakness.
Yeah.
So God, Allah Almighty, is the all-knowing. He knows everything.
So he doesn't have to do this.
He doesn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. He sends messengers. He sent Jesus. He sent Muhammad. He sent Moses. He sent Abraham to guide people, to teach the people the way. As you always say, that they are teachers, to teach the people how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And that's the line right there.
Absolutely.
We don't make them divine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And people would raise a question. If they say a question, okay, Jesus is unique because he was born and he didn't have a father. It's a very good argument.
Yeah.
We say, just look at Adam. He neither had a father nor a mother. Mm-hmm. But still, Adam is a human being.
Yeah, so he'd be a greater God.
Some people are deceived by that.
Yeah.
When they say that Jesus doesn't have a father, so this is a miraculous thing, and his father is God. So that means the one who is worthy to be called this is Adam, because Adam did not have a father and he did not have a mother. Mm-hmm. So again, you see how Islam opens up the hearts of people to think and reflect and ponder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now this is one quality, only one quality, that Allah is unique. You can apply to any God that people claim that he's God and they worship him. And this is my advice to all human beings. This is the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of us. Just take these parameters, four parameters or four criteria, and apply them to the one that you think that he's God. So here the Quran talks to all human beings. He doesn't talk to the Muslims. He talks to everyone. Just take this and apply it to the idol that you worship or to the God that you worship and see if it fits him or not. And we Muslims are very open. If it applies to anyone, we will worship him.
It's very simple. Criteria.
Very simple.
He's
very
one
simple.
Unique.
He's one unique.
So the Trinity,
yeah,
this
would absolutely. Be. This negates the Trinity from the very beginning.
Because that goes and you split absolutely. It up. Like a pie, he's like a one. Suit, like a, you can't do it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The second quality is Allahu Samad, a wonderful word. Unfortunately, it's difficult to translate it into any other language by just one word because it's a concept. Usually when you explain a concept, you cannot explain it by another word because sometimes this concept is not available in other languages. The word As-Samad means, it has two segments in it. As-Samad means the one who is needed and relied upon by all his creatures. This is the first segment. The second segment of it is he needs no one of his creatures.
Doesn't need nothing from
anyone. He doesn't need anyone.
But we need everything from
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Let me give you some examples. I'll explain the first part. Mm-hmm. That he needs, all his creatures need him. The human beings, to live and to exist on this planet, they need Almighty Allah. He's the one who created. He's the one who created oxygen for them. He is the one who created water for them. So they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all their life. And the one who provides all these is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can live without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can live without water. Nobody can live without oxygen. Nobody can live without this and this and this, without the sun, without... And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything, the sun, the moon, the galaxies, everything in this universe, rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just for a moment, tell us, because for our non-Muslim audience who they've been used to hearing the word God, Lord, Jesus, and this has all been intertwined together. Yeah. Now you're saying Allah and you're associating Allah with creating the sun
everything
and the moon.
And creating
tell
Jesus
us who is Allah?
Yes. It said Allah is the proper name and proper noun of Almighty Allah, of the Creator. His name is Allah, as my name is Mamduh, as your name is Eddie, and his name is Adam. Yeah, his name, the name of, the proper name of, proper noun of Allah is Allah.
So this is not just an Arab God.
No, it's his name.
Some people try to say a moon god or anything.
Absolutely no, absolutely no. So all these creatures need and rely upon Almighty Allah. Muhammad, as a creature, as a created person, he relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needed his oxygen, he needed the water, he needed everything, and this is provided only by Allah. Jesus is the same story. Moses is the same thing. Everyone in this universe requires and needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cannot exist without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first segment of it. The second segment of it is that Allah does not need any of it. Allah does not need Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah does not need the sun. Allah does not need the oxygen. Allah does not need the galaxies. Allah doesn't need anyone. Allah doesn't need to have a son. Allah doesn't need to have a father. Allah doesn't need to have associates. Allah doesn't need to have helpers. But we do that.
So if we would have, let's say for any of the messengers, if we would have got close to him and maybe just did like this, cut off the oxygen. This is what you mean. They need this.
Of
this
course,
air.
They
God
need
doesn't
oxygen.
Need this.
God doesn't
so Jesus,
need that.
He needed to take this fresh air.
He used to inhale.
Otherwise,
he would be dead.
Okay.
And the same thing is applicable to Muhammad. And the same thing is applicable to Jesus. And the same thing is applicable to all these 7 billion human beings.
So people just need to use the good old common
just need
sense.
To think
about
so this.
This
is another criterion, another parameter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to all humanity. Mm-hmm. And that's why you understand the meaning of the Quran is guidance for all human beings.
Yeah.
Now it gives you the parameter. You use these parameters, you use these tools, and you will be guided. If you use them correctly, you will be guided. Now I want you to think, is the Lord that I'm worshipping is Samad? That's what I explained.
Yeah.
That everyone needs him. Let's take, for example, Buddha. Let's take, for example, Jesus. Let's take, for example, Muhammad. If some people worship Muhammad, which is not the case, the Muslims don't worship Muhammad because they know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs Allah.
He's just
so
a messenger.
He's not Samad. He's just a messenger.
Like Jesus.
Like
and
Jesus,
all of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's just turned. He was the last messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If anybody would think of this, he would know that is Buddha or any other idol or any other claimed God really is a true God? No. By just applying this. And even if you look at this, the word asamat is embedded in the word unique. Because nobody else has this quality. Have you ever heard about someone who has this quality that all the creatures need him and he needs no one with him?
No.
But it only applies
you
to Almighty.
Just got to think a little bit.
Absolutely.
Step outside of your zone, your box.
Absolutely.
And just think.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of programming going on, and we just kind of get accustomed to just going along with what everyone else is doing without questioning. So you got a question?
Yes. Yeah. Think, just think freely, and you will be guided. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time in the Quran would ask us to think, to reflect. Don't take things blindly. And when you do this, you will find the truth is opening up and is coming to you, and day after day, you will get into that. This is just an example of the two. And then I will continue after, yes, that I'll explain the two other segments. Now we said that he's unique and he is Samad, the one who is needed by all the creatures, and he needs no one.
Let's, with that note, take a break and we'll be right back on the Deen Show.
He comes to you the truth and the attribute of the one who created you, that he's one and alone running this universe, that he doesn't become born, he doesn't die, he doesn't eat and go to the bathroom. This is not God.
The problem here is,
it
doesn't make sense.
Who was Jesus worshipping?
Because it's recorded in the Gospels. Despite all of the other issues about the Gospels, we put those aside. We just say it's mentioned there that Jesus worshipped God.
One who protects us from hunger.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the Deen Show. Dr. Mahdou, we're talking about the Surah Ikhlas. This is the chapter in the Quran, verbatim word of God. This is defining who the Creator is.
Yeah.
Continue on, please.
We were linking it with that. I'm giving an example of how the Quran is mercy to all mankind and it addresses all mankind. So this is one chapter that provides all human beings with the tools, with the parameters, with the criteria that if they use it, they would be able to distinguish if the idol or if the thing or if the one that they worship is a true good or not. And again, these can be used by Muslims, these can be used by non-Muslims. But any human being uses it. I talked about two qualities. The first quality, that he is unique, uniquely one. Mm-hmm. And the second one, he is a samad, that he is the one who is needed and relied upon by all his creatures, and he needs no one of them.
Nobody.
The third quality is that, and what is unique about this third quality, that it's embedded in the first one. As the second one was embedded in the first one, this third one is embedded here. Lam yalid, he didn't beget, and nor he was begotten. So God was not begotten. Had he been begotten, he would have never been unique.
For some people who don't know, what does this begotten mean?
To be born.
So like father?
Simple. So he didn't have a father.
Yeah.
God doesn't have a father. If he has a father, we will say that each one has father.
Yeah.
So he's no longer unique. Uh-huh. So he didn't have a father. He was not born.
Yeah.
But this is a quality of a human being. Was Jesus born?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Now, you ask yourself, God talks about himself, said that I was never born. Right.
But Jesus was born.
Jesus was born. So Muhammad was born.
All of them were born.
All of them were born. So they are,
so they
again,
don't
they
qualify.
Don't befit, they don't qualify
so
to be.
So there's a qualification to be the
These
creator.
Are this the qualifications. These are the full qualifications to be the true God.
Yeah.
If they apply to anyone, we will worship him.
That's it.
That's it.
It makes sense. It goes with what you said
with
earlier.
Any person.
That fitra, that natural
the fitra, the
disposition.
Natural
that way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So he doesn't have a father, nor he has a son. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have a father nor a son. Okay, people have fathers and people have sons. So, if they don't have, right? If I say that I don't have a father, I don't have a son, I would be unique. But this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not born, nor did he give birth to anyone. Didn't have a child. So this is the third quality, which is embedded here, and the final quality, which also is embedded in the first quality, says that وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. There is no one who is equal to him. Look at that.
That's deep.
Very deep. No one is equal to Almighty Allah. Now, if we can apply this to Muhammad, is anybody equal to Muhammad? Yes. In terms of his humanity, yes. Muhammad had a father and had children, yes. People, many people, prophets have, Ibrahim had father and mm-hmm. had children. I have a father and have children. So Muhammad is not unique in that sense.
Yeah.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one is equal to him in any of his qualities.
Yes.
And in fact, people are deceived by the words when we say that Allah sees and we see, absolutely. But the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees is different from the way we see. Mm-hmm. So that's why we say that they are not equal. For example, the maximum distance that a human being can see, let me assume that it's 5 or 10 miles. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all human beings and all creatures at the same time. Mm-hmm. Does any one of the human beings have this capacity? Of course not.
No.
So this is the importance of knowing that وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There has never been someone who was equal to Almighty Allah. Now, I would advise any person with wisdom, people of understanding, to think of these criteria and apply them between them and themselves. They don't need anybody to judge them. They just need to take these criteria and apply them to their God that they worship. If they apply, let him or her tell us, because we are going to worship that God. If these apply to any God, we will apply, because they only apply to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we thank Almighty Allah who gave us these criteria that guided us to the truth. That's why it's very difficult to shake the belief of any Muslim, because any Muslim who knows these, it's very difficult to find him someone.
It is something rational. Absolutely. It's
very rational. It's not, because Islam is the dear of
difficult
the
difficult to understand, yeah.
Very easy for anyone. And as you see that, it addresses the average person. Mm-hmm. It's not so complicated. It's very simple. I can take it and I apply it.
Yeah.
We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this Quran, which is a guidance. Many verses in the Quran, many chapters talk about these issues as guidance. And here is one example. And I hope the viewers would have understood what I said and enjoyed it. And I hope, inshallah, they apply it in their life in order to be able to distinguish the true God from the false gods.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mahdou. Inshallah, we look forward to having you again back here on the Deen Show. Thank you for sitting through another episode of the Deen Show. You got to hear it here, that God is uniquely one. He is independent of all. We are all dependent on him. He is not the father of no one, nor has he fathered any children. And he is unique. There's nothing like the creator of the heavens and the earth. So start with that step and ask him, call upon him alone to guide you, to help make things clear. And tune in here every week to the Deen Show. We'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater.